Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to see you in the house of worship as we have our midweek devotions. The service is printed out for us in the worship bulletin. As we get into the service tonight, are you passing on joy this Christmas season? What are you passing on to others? When they talk to you or when they observe you, whether it be Christmas time or not, do they get a sense of joy radiating off you or a sense of ho-hum? Don't we have joy to pass on to others? Don't we have joy to live ourselves, which then can radiate through us? As we'll get into, obviously there's a difference between joy and being happy, as not everything in life makes us happy. But is the reason for our joy determined on our reason for happiness or not? And especially at this Christmas time, as we lead up to it, it's good to ask ourselves again, what are we passing on to others? The whole hum of the Christmas season, all that goes with it, or the joy that comes with Christmas? Because if there weren't Christmas, what wouldn't there be? There wouldn't be a reason for joy. And so thank God that there is Christmas. With Christ at the center, and with that Christmas, with Christ at the center, comes joy. And so we lift up our hearts, as by God's grace we seek to prepare for a joy-filled Christmas. I invite your attention to the invocation on page 3. Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light of the darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Be our light and scatter the darkness.
And hear our
thank you.
I invite you to stand. O Lord, what are human beings that you care for them, mere mortals that you think of them? Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise.
His greatness no one can fathom.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love.
The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him, and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Lord God, we thank you for this day of grace now drawing to a close. Stay with us and warm our hearts with your forgiving love in Christ. May your word keep our faith burning brightly, that we may walk in the light of your presence through the darkness of this world. Come and bless us as we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. What does the Lord want from you? He wants your heart, a heart that listens to Him, a heart that honors Him. A reading from Holy Scripture, Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. We read together. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity.
Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness.
Open my lips, Lord,
and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. The word of the Lord.
We lift up our hearts to the Lord.
There is no doubt from God regarding how our salvation came about. A reminder and encouragement, a reading from Holy Scripture, Ephesians 2. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time You were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The word of the Lord.
We lift up our hearts to the Lord. Thank you.
Is your Christmas more Old Testament or New Testament? In other words, are you more caught up in the traditions that go with Christmas and what those traditions can come, stress and hurry and anxiety, because you're more focused on what you have to do to get ready for Christmas than on what Christmas is really about? Where the New Testament Christmas, well, the decorations are nice, and if we get them done, great. But Christmas will go on whether the house is decorated or we got the right present or not. So are you an Old Testament Christmas or a New Testament Christmas? The Lord reminds us with the prophet Jeremiah which one we are to be, encourages believers of all time, even then and now, because the believers then were not to remain in the Old Testament. Rather, they were always to be looking ahead to the fulfillment of the prophecies recorded down in the Old Testament, which ushered in the new. And so through inspiration to the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord helps us lift up our hearts once again to prepare for a joy-filled Christmas, helping us realize once again that Christmas is not in the exterior, but in the message itself. And even as the last hymn emphasized, even though it may not be an Advent or a Christmas hymn per se, but isn't that what that hymn wrote? Really what Christmas is all about? I mean, Christmas didn't just come to be Christmas. Christ came for a purpose. He didn't just come to remain a cute little baby, but to grow up, to fulfill the law. Something that we cannot do but is necessary. And to take himself to the cross. That we might be reconciled to God our Creator. And that is the peace, goodwill to all. Not the songs we sing necessarily, but what at least the songs we sing in church are to be about. About Christ. And so we don't sing jingle bells in church. We sing, O come, Emmanuel, which reminds us that God is with us. Whether the jingle bells jingle or not, God remains with us. And so do people, when they come to your house, when they talk to you, do they get more jingle bells or do they get, O come, Emmanuel? Do they get more of the world or more of Christ? What's on your tree, or will be on your tree? More that represents the world, or more that represents Christ? It's not meant to be a guilt trip, but just a reminder that we are to be the salt and light of this world. If we're not being the salt and the light, who is? And didn't Christ call us and set us apart to be the salt and the light? To not be stuck in the Old Testament, but to live in the New Testament? But do we too often give the impression we're still in the Old Testament and not in the New? The people at the time of Jeremiah needed to hear this message. I mean, it was kind of a downer time. It wasn't a happy time for them. There was a serious message that they needed to hear because of their wickedness, their lawlessness. In a way, they're really no different than you and me and the rest of the world today. I mean, as more laws get passed, we emphasize how lawless our world is becoming. And all the more why we need Christ and Christmas with a capital C. The people in Jeremiah's time would be led away, lose their homeland for a time, because it wasn't really about their earthly homeland, was it? It was about the heavenly home that the Savior would win for them. And not just for them, but for us as too. And so they were not to focus on the earthly things, but rather what those earthly things would represent. The temple that was built by human hands was a place to honor God. It was not to be the place that was honored, per se. Just like our worship facility, built by human hands, is a place to honor God, but not to be honored apart from God. They would need to reflect back on these words of Jeremiah as the Lord would lead his people off to captivity, but with a reminder that he would not forget them, that God would remain with his people. They may forsake him, but he would not forsake them. In particular, his promise of a Savior for all human beings. And so they could, during captivity and following captivity, reflect on these words of the prophet Jeremiah and realize that God was with them all the way. Even in their wickedness, God had not deserted them, had not forsaken them, had not forsaken his promise. But as promised, would return a remnant. And through that remnant, the Savior would come. Jeremiah 31, no longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. The words then and the words today give us reason to lift up our hearts, to prepare for a joy-filled Christmas. They had something to look forward to, even in the bleakness of times. You and I, we have something to look forward to and to live even now, even in the bleakness of times. Because we must admit, as then, still today, are there days when we're just plain not happy? Whether it be our health, or whether it be our bank account, or whether it be society, or whatever it might be. Maybe that favorite decoration, that ornament that was handed down to you, broke. You're not happy. But is that broken ornament change what God has accomplished for you in Christ Jesus? Do you act like it does? Maybe for a moment, but don't let it continue to do so. Because Christmas is not in the ornament, is it? Christmas is Jesus. Jesus is the joy of Christmas. Oh, the lights are pretty. The trees can be beautiful. The get-togethers can be great. But let us never forget the real purpose of Christmas, which is Jesus. And what Jesus came to accomplish, which the prophet Jeremiah emphasizes. Jesus didn't just come to rescue the children of Israel, did he? He came to rescue all people. Whether people acknowledge that fact or not, Jesus came for all. All then have an opportunity to be reconciled to God, to have that peace with God, and to have the joy then that comes with such peace. The children of Israel, even then, were to be beacons of light to the people around them. But too often were influenced by the people around them. And so instead of shedding the light of the Messiah to come, fell into the wickedness of the world. Has much changed? How many Christians who have been set apart and called to be light in the world have unfortunately fallen prey to the world? Have caved to the wickedness and the lawlessness of the world? where pretty soon we say, rather than seeing the harm that can come. Because how much of a crack does Satan need to do his damage? Not much. And so it's good that we are here once again to lift up our hearts to the Lord, to prepare for a joy-filled Christmas, so that we, along with King David, can confess that we are sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me, and if not for Christ, would be left in our wickedness and lawlessness and be doomed to eternal hellfire. But with the Christ, the fulfilled promise, coming at Christmas and everything that comes with it, we can say that we have been redeemed. And with David, we can say, create in me a clean heart, O God, a heart that follows you, not the ways of the world. A heart that is willing to be a light to those around us. You know, in our day and age, is it hard-pressed to believe that the people of this world have had an opportunity to hear the gospel? How many people in the world celebrate Christmas? Maybe they don't know why. But they get a tree, or they get gifts, or they get time off of work, or this or that. They like the benefits that come with Christmas. So we have a starting point, either we ourselves or through the missionaries we support, to help people understand then what you look forward to celebrating from a worldly point of view really has a higher meaning. An everlasting meaning. One that brings peace to the season. One that brings joy to the season. And not just to the season, but our entire life. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. Your sons and daughters, have you passed on to them the name of the Lord? Do they know the Lord? They do. Friends, family, have they had opportunity to hear the gospel? Through you, through someone else, through technology? I mean, the world has plenty of opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news that can bring us true peace. And with that peace, true joy. Again, God was emphasizing the fact that the old covenant was not going to stick around, but see its fulfillment in the new. The old covenant emphasized their need for a Savior. We could not measure up and still can't measure up to God's perfect demands. But the new reminds us and points out we don't have to, because we have one who has for us. The Christ. And so the focus really never was to be on us and our accomplishments, or what we failed to accomplish. Rather, the focus was always to be on God's promise and the fulfillment of that promise and what Christ, who is the fulfillment of that promise, has accomplished. And what has He accomplished? I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Continuous. I will forgive your wickedness and will remember your sins no more. That's Christmas. Because without Christmas, we wouldn't have that. That's Christmas. And with that heart and focus of Christmas comes peace. And with that peace comes joy. And so through the words of Jeremiah, may the Lord continue to lift up your hearts and continue to prepare your hearts and your minds for a joy-filled Christmas. Regardless if the food turned out, or it wasn't the gift you wanted, or the gifts weren't wrapped as you hoped, or the tree only got lights and no ornaments. That's not the main thing. The main thing is Jesus. Always has been, always will be. Lift up your hearts and prepare once again for a joy-filled Christmas. Amen. In response, we sing the hymn, "Come, O Long Expected Jesus." We pray. Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus make us strong to do his will. May the peace of the Lord Jesus fill our lives.
Amen.
Thank you.
So what are you passing on to others? Something to continually ponder as you make your way home tonight. If you're looking for a little invites to hand to family or friends about the Christmas services coming up, don't forget the live nativity as well. They're available there by the visitor center, the welcome center. Please find those there. They're in a blue quarter sheet of paper. Have a great night in the Lord. Thank you.